Well, thank you very much again for the invitation to come over to Lestuder and to speak at your meeting tonight. It's a joy to come again. I've really been blessed with your singing. And you nearly sing as good as the young people in Newton Arts, but just not as good. I'm only joking, but it was good singing. Do you meet here the first Saturday of the month? The first and third, because we have a wee mission hall there. I go in Corridor, Maranatha Hall Corridor, and it would be lovely if you were to come down and take that meeting some night. No, not tonight. But I'll ring Sharon sometime, and maybe you could arrange that. And you could sing and testify, and somebody could preach, I'm sure. Well, just call me Stephen. Our young brother said Mr. Jamieson. I wondered who he was talking about. Frank Sinatra, you know, was in the dressing room before a big concert. And this fella came and knocked on his door. He says, "Mr. Sinatra, 5 minutes till curtain's up." He came back again. "Mr. Sinatra, 2 minutes, curtain's up." And he came back again. "Mr. Sinatra, 1 minute and curtain's up." And Frank Sinatra says, "Hey, boy, come in here a minute." He says, "Mr. Sinatra is my father, was my father, and he's dead and gone." He says, "Just call me Frank." So just call me Stephen, and that'll do all right. John chapter 10. The subject tonight is our security in Christ. Our security in Christ. And I think probably this is the classic passage of Scripture. If it's not the most well-known, it's certainly up there, maybe one of the top five on this subject. John chapter 10, of course, where the Lord Jesus has declared himself to be the good shepherd. But if you look at verse 27, he's speaking here about his sheep, his flock. And who are his sheep? His sheep are those who have come through him. Because he says in verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." So the Lord's sheep are clearly identified. They have come in to Christ. They have come in through Christ, and they're saved. But this is what he says about his sheep in verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." And the Lord bless the reading of his word. We'll be looking at a few other scriptures as we go through this study. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Father, we thank you again that we're found here on a Saturday evening, a cold and damp night, Lord. How wonderful to be singing these hymns and choruses, Lord, of praise and gratitude and thanksgiving to our God. How wonderful, Lord, to contemplate this tremendous theme of the believer's security in Christ. And Lord, we ask thee to so work in our hearts, like the two on the road to Emmaus, that we will have that testimony, the each one to the other. Did not our hearts burn within us while the Lord Jesus spoke to us in the way? I pray for thy help, Lord. I pray for the help of the Holy Spirit of God, his ministry amongst us and his ministry to our hearts. Fill our minds, Lord, with gospel truth. May that truth stir and warm our hearts, and may we be a willing people to do thy will. And if, Lord, there be any amongst us strangers to grace and to God, we pray thou wilt draw them in. Lord, bring them in tonight to the family and fold and fellowship of the Lord Jesus. In his precious name we ask it. Amen. The Lord Jesus says concerning his sheep, those who have come in through him and are saved, that they have eternal life, that they shall never perish, that no man can pluck them out of my hand. If you have a King James Bible and it's italics, the words in italics are not in the original, they were added to help the flow of the passage. But when it says, neither shall any man, the word man is in italics, it could well be the Lord Jesus is saying, neither shall any man, devil, demon, unclean spirit, sin, circumstance, past, present, or future, pluck them out of my hand. He says that the believer is in his hand. He then says in verse 29 that the believer is in his Father's hand. Are there two hands? Well, the answer is in verse 30, of course, I and my Father are one. The mystery of the Trinity, we'll not go into that tonight, or we will be here till the morning. But what a grand and precious truth it is. The Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit are one God. The security of the believer. I was hoping maybe this hymn would be in the books you use, but it isn't. But I will read it out to you. I'm sure you are familiar with the hymn, A Debtor to Mercy Alone. Hands up if you're familiar with that hymn. A few. Well, I'll encourage you to read that hymn. Because it's written by Augustus Montague, top lady. What a grand name. But top lady has really put into verse and put into rhyme the truth of the scripture concerning this subject. It's amazing. In fact, this hymn is like a little body of divinity. It's like a theological masterpiece. A debtor to mercy alone, of covenant mercy I sing, nor fear with thy righteousness on, my person and offering to bring. But listen to the last verse. He says, yes, I to the end shall endure, as sure as the earnest is given. More happy, but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. Do you know what he's saying? More happy but not more secure, the glorified spirits in heaven. You know, the people in heaven tonight, the believers who have died in the Lord, you would say, wouldn't you, and I would say, they are secure in Christ. After all, they're beyond the veil of tears. They're beyond sinning. They're beyond failing. They're beyond the devil and the world and the flesh. They have done the battle and they have won the prize. They're in the Lord's immediate glory. They're in the intermediate state awaiting the resurrection of the body at the coming of the Lord. They are secure, but here's the point in the hymn, and it's also the point in the scripture. They're not any more secure than the weakest Christian on this earth tonight. Maybe they're more happy, but they're not more secure. In other words, what Top Lady is saying in that hymn, and again I say to you, it is the teaching of the Bible, that if you're a believer in this meeting, if you are saved, even if your faith is weak, even if it would have to be said that you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, even if the grace of God in your life is maybe not triumphing as well as in somebody else's life. Yet if you are trusting Christ, you're savingly united to Jesus Christ. The Lord took you out of the kingdom of the devil in this world and He placed you by grace into the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you are as secure tonight as the believers are in heaven. That's the teaching of the Bible. That's the teaching of the Bible. More happy, but not more secure. The glorified spirits in heaven. Now, usually this doctrine is put in the following way. People will talk about the eternal security of the saints or the eternal security of the believer. Most evangelical Christians believe that, though there are some who don't. And certainly the Roman Catholic Church does not teach that you can be justified, and once you're justified, you can never be lost. But it's a teaching of the Bible. Now, sometimes we use amongst ourselves an expression like this, once saved, always saved. And I absolutely believe that. Maybe we'll say, once you are saved, you can never be lost. And I absolutely believe that too. But then that begs the question, am I really saved? Am I really in Christ? I know a wee man, a brother in the Lord. He's even weirder than me, which is nearly a miracle. But in most prayer meetings that he's there, he'll always pray for the backsliders in Ulster. And he'll say, there are many backsliders in our land. Are there? You know, you can never slide back unless in the first place you slid forward. Let me say it again. Every Christian, true believer, everyone who has personally received the Lord Jesus are resting in Him and His finished work. They are safe and they are secure. And they are as secure as the believers in heaven. But of course, we know from our Bible that people can make a false profession. We know from our Bibles, for instance, do you remember the sower went forth to sow, and some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and snatched it away. That's the devil coming. Do you remember the seed that was sown on stony ground? It grew up quickly, but it had no root, and it perished quickly. Let me talk to you a minute about two people I personally know. I'll call one John, and I'll call the other Tom. When I got saved in 1977, there was three other fellows around. I was 17 then, around that same age, give or take a year. And we sort of got together, and in our early Christian life, we were a great encouragement, the one to the other. And John, this fellow John, along with the rest of us, he was at everything. He was at every prayer meeting and prayed. He was a Sunday school teacher. He preached in the open air. Along with the rest of us, he marched in front of the Orange Men every 12th of July in Belfast with a scripture vest on. He was well read. Read books on church history and doctrine. In fact, I remember one Christmas we were in somebody's house and we were playing Trivial Pursuits, and he knew every question, the beggar. Every one of them. It was amazing. Just, he was a great encouragement and going on with God. And do you know tonight he's nowhere with the Lord? He started to grow cold. It was noticeable. And then he left the church. He got married. He went to live in England. He then decided he would tour the world. Ended up in Spain. But in a strange providence, he's back in Newton Ards. And one Sunday morning last year, he was sitting in Conway Square in Newton Ards. And another fellow who knows me and knows him came walking by and he says, "Oh, how are you doing? I haven't seen you in a long time." He says, "Should you not be in church at this time up the Bangor Road?" Oh, he says, "I don't bother with that anymore." And he says, "You know, nothing's as black and white." And this fella, the Lord must have been with him because he turned to him quickly and he said, "Well, I'll tell you this, you'll be dead one day and that's black and white." But there's that fella. He's completely away, has no desire for the things of God at all now. Let me talk to you about another man. We'll call him Tom. He's an older man, but I remember when I got saved, he was a great encouragement. He was an elder. He was a Sunday school teacher. He used to sing in a trio. A real, I would have said, vibrant believer, always singing, always rejoicing, always taking people to missions. And he got into a bit of trouble, and it led even to the breakup of his marriage. It led to him being put out of the church, and he went away from the things of God entirely. In fact, it would be maybe true to say that football became his great interest. But you know, just a few years ago, God spoke to him again. He started attending meetings in Belfast. He got back to the Lord. He remarried his wife. And he's back in the church that many years ago he was the clerk of session. And he's gone on with God today. Now, these things happen. Now, that first fella I told you about, is he saved? Or is he not? Obviously, the fella Tom, he has come back to the Lord and he's going on with God. And we have no hesitation in saying that he is saved by the grace of God. You know, young people, there's two characters. If you want to study a character in with regard to this subject or security in Christ, in the Old Testament, study David. And in the New Testament, study Peter. Because the ups and downs, the twists and turns in those men's lives is amazing. Their fall into sin is amazing. Their restoration is amazing. And you know, tonight they are in heaven and they are eternally saved. Eternally saved. Let me say this. True believers are secure. Every one of them. And I emphasize that again. Every one of them. Even if you're the weakest saint, but you're trusting Christ, you're safe and secure. You know that scripture, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's a tremendous verse. But I remember when I was first saved, people used to come to the meetings and give their testimony. And maybe a fellow who had been a heavy drinker, and really that was his passion in life. He would be out drinking. Drinking at the weekends and coming home drunk and making life miserable for his wife and family. And then he gets gloriously saved. And maybe he says something like this: I've never touched a drop. I've never been through a public house door since. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And I used to listen to this, and I used to say, yeah, but that's true in your life about the drink. But are you saying you never sin? You never fail the Lord? When I got saved, you know, if I entertained any notion that everything was now completely changed and I wouldn't be bothered with anything that tempted me before, was I in for a rude awakening? What does it mean then? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, I love to use this illustration. Maybe used it before here. When we're born into sin. We're born into the kingdom of darkness. We're over here. We walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We're over here in sin, spiritually dead, condemned already, the wrath of God upon us. But when God speaks to us and we're convicted and we realize our state and the gospel's explained to us and we hear it, you know what God does? God takes us from here and God puts us over here. We're now in Christ. That's where we once were, in sin, in darkness, in death, spiritual death. But now we're over here, we're in Christ, we're in light, we're in life. The old things are passed away, and all things have become new. We're over here, you see. Now, over here you can backslide, but you'll backslide over here, not over there. If you're a Christian, over here you'll still sin and fail the Lord, but you'll do it over here, not over there. And the teaching of the Bible is this, that once God brings you over here and you're saved and you're in Christ, you can never, ever be over here again. That's what it means. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. And when you're over, it's as far over here, it's as far over here from there as heaven is from hell. This is a great doctrine. And it's a great thing to get this settled in your mind and in your heart. True believers, every one of them, are secure. True believers are secure solely because of God's grace. See, you might see somebody and they're a missionary. They're a great preacher. They have done great exploits for God. And you might say, well, they have great assurance and they're secure, but I'm not like that. I'm weak at times and I don't have the gifts that person has and I don't have the faith that person has. Yeah, but if you're in Christ, you're just as secure. Because the grace of God that saved and keeps that one is the same grace of God that saves and keeps you. It's all God's grace. True believers are secure, but they can fall into sin. And true believers are secure in God's grace, but are not always as faithful as they should be. Now I want you to take your Bible, and we're going to look just at some scriptures tonight. Do you know that hymn, Loved with Everlasting Love? That's a great hymn. But then couple that with that other great hymn, Love That Wilt Not Let Me Go. And that's it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. the book of Ephesians chapter 1. You know, when you think about it, it's a good job we're secure by God's grace. I'm so glad tonight my salvation and my security isn't resting in me. Hallelujah. 1,000,000,000 hallelujahs for that. Because good grief, on a Sunday night, if the meeting's good, I could be feeling well secure. Monday morning I go into work, I could feel I'm on the road to hell. Thank God our salvation and our security rests in something better than that. Something more secure than that. And let me say this, and this is important for young people to learn quickly in their Christian life. It has nothing to do, ever, with how you feel. Nothing to do with it. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. But our warrant is the Word of God. None else is worth believing. That's a great wee saying. Ephesians 1 verse 4. We'll read verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, do understand what it says there. It says there that through our Lord Jesus Christ and by God the Father, we are blessed with all. Not some, not a few. All spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. Do you hear that? All spiritual blessings. There's boys on the TV there on the God channel, and they're always telling us that there's something else. I need something else. I need this full gospel. I haven't got the full gospel, they tell me. But they'll pray for me and they'll lay their hands on me and I'll get the full gospel. Listen, there's only one gospel, and that's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures. I heard a fellow the other day, I couldn't believe it. If I hadn't heard it with my own ears. A preacher in America, and he had been away to a conference, and some other preacher friend had given him this wee penknife, wee cheap thing. But he enjoyed it because when he was away, he always took it with him, and if there was an apple or an orange in his hotel room, he liked to peel the apple and the orange with a sweet penknife. So he was away at a conference in this far-off town, city in America, had to fly there. The meetings were over, he packed up, he flew back to his hometown, and got lifted at the airport and went upstairs to his bedroom with his wife, and he was unpacking his case, and he realized, I have left my wee penknife. And it was only a wee cheap thing, but because it had been given to him by this fellow, he was so dismayed and so really a bit angry. He rang the hotel. And he said, I've left a wee penknife. Could you look in the room? Has it been picked up? Has it been left at the desk? No, no. Nobody's found a penknife. No. And he was so discouraged. And then here's what he said. He said, I decided to decree it. So him and the wife are in their bedroom and he decrees this penknife that it'll be brought to him. And there, now this is what he said, I'm not making this up, hovering above the bed was his penknife, and it plopped down on the bed. Well, of course, when I heard that, I went out and I decreed a Mercedes Benz. But it hasn't arrived yet. Now this is nonsense. This is nonsense. There's only one gospel, and all the spiritual blessings that you have and that God has for you are in heavenly places in Christ. Now verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood. Let me tell you, a Christian is secure, first of all, because of God's election. Now, God didn't choose us to make a profession and then bandy that about and throw it away after a couple of months or a couple of years. God has chosen us for heaven. And let me put this strongly, and excuse my language here, but let me put it as strongly as this. Come hell or high water, whoever God has chosen for heaven will get to heaven. Are you going to suggest that the Almighty God, who knows the end from the beginning, who's greater than all, can set his love upon folk, can elect and predestinate them for heaven and home, and that fail? Is God a failure? Indeed, he's not. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8. Book of Hebrews chapter 8. I'm just giving you one or two scriptures, but you can tease this all out for yourself, and I encourage you to do so. You see, we're not only secure because of God's election, we're secure because of Christ's death. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do when he died? Did the Lord Jesus die on the cross just to make salvation possible? No, the Lord Jesus died on the cross to save people. And look what God says, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Look at verse 12 of Hebrews 8. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. You know, God, it's not that God forgets. It's that God remembers to forget. And he says that our sins and our iniquities, he will remember no more. Now listen. If a person has truly trusted Christ and they're saved, and they believe in that righteousness, that they have no righteousness of their own, that all our righteousness are as filthy rags, but the Savior lived for us and he died for us, and all that he has accomplished by way of righteousness, the Lord takes the righteousness of the Lord Jesus and he gives it to us. He gives it to you and to me. And we receive it by faith. Thank God we don't have to climb a mountain or say a lot of prayers. Or we believe to the saving of our soul. And that righteousness, the word that's used, it's imputed to us. Baptist preacher was on an aeroplane. Independent Baptist preacher. I actually went to hear him preach. Dr. Jack Hales. He's now in heaven. But he used to fly out every Monday morning to some state in America and have a minister's conference and fly back on a Wednesday morning for his Bible study. And one of those journeys, he was sitting beside a man that started to talk. He says, what do you do? He says, I'm an accountant. He says, what do you do? He says, I'm a Baptist preacher. And Pastor Hale said to him, your books don't balance. He says, what? He says, your books don't balance. He says, what do you mean? He got out a piece of paper. He put a line down the middle, two columns. At the top of one column, he put debit. And the top of the other column, he put credit. He says, have you ever told a lie? Oh, he says, you have, yeah. Right, you're a liar. Put that under debit. He says, have you ever not kept holy the Sabbath day? Oh, he says, I don't bother anything at all with Sunday at all. No. Right? Sabbath breaker. He went, have you ever looked at a woman the wrong way? Well, sure, who hasn't? Right? Adulterer. And he went down the list. He says, there you are. He says, your books don't balance. You're all debit, no credit. He says, let me tell you this. He got another piece of paper. He put a line down the middle. He put debit and credit. He said, did the Lord Jesus ever tell a lie? Man says, no, I wouldn't think he would have. Again, he went down the list. And he said, do you see that? Christ is all credit and no debit. You're all debit and no credit. And then he put it like this, and I love this. He says, now if you could swing a deal with Jesus, his credit would balance out your debit. And your books would balance. And that's it. The Lord gives to us the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible says we're made the righteousness of God in Him. Remember, the Mormons met me. We were out giving out tracts up around where our church is there in Newton Ards, and there's two Mormons, you know, the big Colgate smile. And we started to talk. And they told us, you know, that, well, what you have, you know, that's good. But, you know, there's another prophet, and he has given us the Book of Mormon. And there's things you need. I says, hold on a minute. My Bible says I am made in Christ the righteousness of God. Are you going to dare tell me you can better the righteousness of God away back to America? Now, I'm not, if there are any Americans here, I'm not, you know, America's a lovely place and a good place. And America, God bless America, because America has stood by Israel all these years. So God bless America. I quickly say that. I want to get a cup of tea before I go home. But you understand. Anyway, Christ's death. Quickly and thirdly, we're secure because the Holy Spirit is present in every Christian. Do you know, the Bible, look at Ephesians 1. And 13 and 14, I'll soon be through. Spent too long in the introduction. Ephesians 1:13-14. Speaking there about in verse 12, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And that wonder, that's all you need, you know, the word of truth, the gospel. You don't need Benny Hinn putting his hand on you. No harm to old Benny, but you don't need that. Or any man putting his hand on you. The psychological moment you believe the gospel record, you're saved. In whom also, listen to this, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit, capital S, of promise. Remember, it was a promise of the Savior. He would send another comforter. Well, you see, you trust the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation. And the moment we trust, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. What does that mean? It's, if you like, the guarantee. The guarantee. The down payment. If you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you've trusted the word of the gospel, and you've trusted Christ and received Christ, you're resting in Christ, it's all of Him, and that's your hope for eternity. The Holy Spirit enters, you're born again. The Holy Spirit in you is the guarantee that the rest that's laid up in the eternal glory will be yours as well. Do you see what it says? Which is the earnest of our inheritance, the guarantee, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. And that's wonderful, because not only is the soul purchased, but please remember, our body is purchased. And though I die, and I be buried in Mavilla Hill, in the town I love so well, Newton Arch, and although my body corrupt and worms eat it away, and it's gone as far as this world and men are concerned, and when we die our bodies corrupt so soon we have to bury them out of sight. But when Jesus died on yonder cross, He purchased my spirit, soul and body. And my soul at death, I'll be absent from the body. That's why, you know, if you ever have fears of dying, you know, it struck me one day, I will never be in a coffin. I will never be in the back of a hearse. And I'll never be in a grave. You say, what do you mean? I mean, I'll never be in a coffin. I'll never be in the back of a hearse. And I'll never be in a grave. You say, but if you're dead, you'll have to put you in a coffin. No, they'll put my body. And my body will be put on the back. I personally, I'll not get into that. That's for another night. My body will be in a coffin, maybe, and my body will be in the back of a hearse, and my body will be put into a grave. I won't. Because bear in mind, you are more than body. And it's not even that you have a soul. It is you are a soul in a body. And what is death? Absence from the body. Present with the Lord. And don't worry about a grave or a coffin. Jimmy Savile, he wanted to be buried at a certain angle to see the sea view. What a poor, deluded, silly man. Well, have you ever been to Mavilla Cemetery? What a view of Scrabble. What a view of Strangford Lock. You know, on a clear day, you can see the Isles of Craig on the coast of Scotland. And being an Ulster Scot, that's good too. But I'll not see any of that lying in my grave. Because it's my body will lie there. You see, the Holy Spirit in us is the guarantee that all that God has for us eternally is ours. Is ours. And then I'll say finally, God's faithful promises. Are we secure? Do you know that God says He will hold our sins against us no more forever? The Lord Jesus on the cross, He took the punishment for all my sins, all of them. Past, present, future, all of them. And in time I received Him, God spoke to me in 1977, and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, Trevor Baxter, in the back of the old John Knox Memorial Free Church in Clifton Park Avenue, Belfast. It was burnt down. He led me to the Savior. I trusted Christ. The Lord Jesus on the cross, He paid my debt. He took the punishment for all my sins. He took all the punishment for all my sins. Now, if I was to somehow lose my salvation and ended up back in sin and went to hell, who would be paying for my sins in hell? Me? But God's just. Do you know what somebody who does surety for you, somebody who pays a debt for you, and if he has paid the debt for you, then the person you owe the money to can't come to you and say, you owe me all this money. You say, no, but it has already been paid by my surety. And thank God you go through the scriptures and all these marvelous promises. Christ paid the debt. He took the condemnation, and now I'm free. And if he paid the penalty, then that penalty's paid, and I can't pay for my sins ever. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Do you remember Peter? Peter was a saved man. How do I know that? Well, the Lord said that all that the Father had given him, he had lost none, save Judas, the son of perdition. So if Judas was the only one, then Peter was saved like the rest of them. Peter was a saved man. And Peter was so sure he would die for the Lord. He would die for the Lord. And I'm sure he was sincere enough that night. He would die for the Lord. And though all men would forsake the Lord Jesus, he wouldn't. And in the early hours of the following morning, when a little maid said, "You're a Galilean too. You know this Jesus of Nazareth. You're one of the men," Peter denied it. When it was put to him a second time, he denied it with oaths. And when it was put to him the third time, he denied it with oaths and curses. Do you ever imagine what does that mean, oaths and curses? Does it mean Peter said, being a Jew, did Peter say to that wee maid and to those around, "Listen, as sure as there's a God in heaven, I don't know Jesus of Nazareth"? You think about that. And then it says he remembered the word that Jesus said before the cock crow, "You will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Was that him on the road to hell? Was that him now back over here, having been translated into Christ? Is Peter now back over here, back in his sins, on the road to destruction and everlasting hell? Not a bit of it. Not a bit of it. And when do we see him again? We see him again on the beach. And the Lord Jesus. And you know, the Lord Jesus, when the Lord Jesus told him to go and tell that he had risen, do you remember what he says? "Go tell my disciples and Peter." And Peter. And he was recommissioned on the beach at Galilee. And then we see him on the day of Pentecost, full of the Holy Spirit, standing up for Jesus, letting the whole world know he knew him. And thousands saved. Oh, listen, thank God if you trust Christ, you're safe and you're secure. And we don't want to fail the Lord, but we do. And there's still the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that corruption which remains in us until the body, the soul leaves the body, and until the body's glorified at the coming of the Lord. But listen, once you're saved and in Christ, you're secure.